The topic of this message is a voice in the beginning and the end. A voice in the beginning and the end. 1 Kings 15 and verse 5. And when you have it, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word, please. 1 Kings 15, verse 5. If you don't have it, get with someone who does. Verse 15, I'm sorry, 1 Kings 15, verse 5. I will begin reading out the New American Standard Bible. Because David did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. Let me read it once again. 1 Kings 15 and verse 5 out of the New American Standard Bible reads in this wise. Because David did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank you that as you begin to show us new ways, new heights, new levels, and newness in our life, I thank you that we have an understanding, and let our knower know where you are taking us so that we can foresee what is coming our way. I thank you that our eyes of our understanding have been opened. I thank you for revelation knowledge. And Lord, prepare the hearts to receive in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. You may be seated and take your seats. Please look to your neighbor and said, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. Say it again with me. Except in the case. Haven't you noticed that every time you do something good, there's always an except or a but? Now, we know that David is a man after God's own heart. Do we not know that? You know David, the little shepherd boy that he played the harp. No, David, not that David back there, but the other David. You know, the David in the Bible, the one that didn't know. He was anointed to be king at a young age. We all know that his exploits considered him a great warrior, did he not? A mighty warrior, the one that could slay giants with a rock. He must have been from the west side of San Antonio. Because if you ain't got no weapon, you got rocks. Slew a giant with a rock. A slingshot. That says something about his ability to fight. He's a warrior. Then a man after God's own heart. That says a lot about his character. His pursuit of understanding God. Correct? Well, that should, what do people say about you? How do they see you? They got quiet in here fast. Cricket, cricket. Where's my son, Josh? Josh, we should have brought those. Remember those little frogs we saw yesterday at the market? We should have bought those. We should have bought those. It sounds like that in here. You could hear a pin drop. How do people see you? How do they know about your heart? How do they see you? For it to be written that David was a man after God's heart. And then it says here that he obeyed every command of God. Every command of God. Did he not? And the writer sees fit to put in there, except. Yeah. Except. And not only the except in there, but gives a very distinctive except. Oh, Uriah. Not just the name of Uriah, no, Uriah the Hittite. Are you understanding? When God begins to write something in the Bible through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there's something that we must pay attention to is everything. He writes this, okay. How many of you know about David and Bathsheba? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay. I'm going to pretend y'all don't know. David was in his kingdom. He was the king. He was in his palace. There was a war that was going on. It was during the springtime, during the time that wars always took place. Because we don't want to have war in the winter. It's cold. We don't want to have it in the summer. It's hot. So we prefer to have our wars, our battle, when it's comfortable. How many of us want that? God, hey, look. I don't want to go to Kenya when it's real hot. Just send me when it's cool in the morning and it just gets to 70 degrees. That's when I'll go. Okay, how about this? How about we let our air conditioner in our car go out only in January, February? Maybe, well, shoot, here in San Antonio, you need it all the time. But how about when it goes out in the middle of August? Wait a minute. So it's not really a good time for it to go out during the summertime when you need it the most, right? The king should always be at battle. They lead. Here's the thing where he got out of position. Go to 2 Samuel, please. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 2 through 5. When you're there, say amen. Amen. We got two people. 10:2. All right, I got a couple. I hear some paper shuffling. 2 Samuel 10:2. Can I get an amen? Oh, well, I'm moving on. In the NIV version, it says, one evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Please, if you have a Bible that you can underline, underline it. If you're using a phone app, you can highlight it there as well. It says right here, look. And the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, I am pregnant. I think they have a reality show now. Pregnant in 17, right? Y'all done that on it? I'm sorry? 11. I'm sorry. Who said 10? Pay attention. I'm just making sure you guys are paying attention. David, we'll be editing the portion of this sermon at this point. Like I said, we're going to begin reading and understand this. And y'all look at me like, it didn't say that. Much better. 2 Samuel what? 11 what? 2. That's what I said. 11. Watch this. No, read it. Now that you know where you're at. Now, not lost, you are. Okay, now look. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, I'm pregnant. Now, here's what I want to show you here in this scripture. The Bible did not quote that David did everything that God said all the time, but he said he did everything right in the sight of God except with who? Uriah, not Bathsheba. For all of you guys and you women in here, it's like, it's okay to do adultery now. I'm just making sure y'all follow me now. It was about Uriah the Hittite. Now, here's what I want to begin to show you. When I begin to read about this, I begin to understand something. That we all make mistakes, do we not? Hello? We all make mistakes. Earth day. We make mistakes. We do. But he doesn't hold that against you unless it opposes what God wants to do. You're like, Pastor, what? He speaks something in the atmosphere, and it's going to create. David did everything in the sight of the Lord that was correct. Did it right. Did everything except with Uriah. David should have been out on the battlefield. Should he have not? Uriah was one of his leaders of his army that he knew when he was in the cave of Adullam. He raised him up, trained him up, and did everything with him. Are you hearing this? Sometimes in your life, you're going to go through a season where someone has raised you and brought you up and then does you wrong. They do you wrong when they should have been the ones helping you, protecting you, keeping you, but you get hurt. But that wasn't what the issue was. The issue was he took matters into his own hands. Once he found out he messed up, I've got to fix this. I messed up. I got to fix this. I got to make sure that it doesn't go any further and I don't get caught by doing something wrong. Right? You know, when you tell that one lie, just that one lie, that one lie turns into many lies to cover the lie. By the time you get to the end of all those lies, you forgot about the original lie you lied about. And then that's how you get caught. Because you forgot about what you were lying about. You forgot what real truth was. Here's what, if you look at the picture, there's a war that is going on. Now, David had won almost every battle that he has fought. David did everything right. He was a man that was after God's own heart. But then he took matters into his own hands, and it wasn't the sin of the flesh that made him go to Bathsheba. No, really? It's okay to look? No, watch, hold on. Time out. Uriah eventually would have been killed. Let's not forget about the lineage that came out of Bathsheba. Huh? So, in other words, God had an intention and a plan in place all along. David got in the mix and was trying to hurry things up. Haven't you tried to make things work faster? Haven't you tried to make things just come to pass fast in your life? As quick as possible because you're tired of going through what you're going through. David said the same thing. Oh, Lord, you're pregnant. Oh, I got to do something about your husband. Bring him to me. He'll go in and we'll cover this whole thing. And that'll be his kid. Uriah, look at Uriah. If you read the story, Uriah didn't even go and sleep with his wife. Uriah slept outside the house. I ain't going to my house. I serve you. I know who you are. You're the king. He respected authority. Watch how authority began to manipulate and control certain things. And look at the outcome that happened. Then David sends a letter to the commander and says, put Uriah at the front. And when the battle's raging on, back off and leave him there. Haven't you ever felt like that? Like someone's putting you out there. And you walk out, we're going to battle. I'm out here by myself. Okay, now watch this. What happened was is he was trying to fix some things himself, putting his hand in the mix of things. I read in a story about Uzzah. It happened in Perez, but I'll just say Uzzah. Okay. They're moving the ark. He reaches out to the ark because the ox stumbled, not the ark, the ox stumbled. But he puts his hand to steady the move of God. And what happens? He got struck down dead. That's the God we serve? Before Jesus. How many of you think that the churches would be packed today if when we mess up, God was to strike us down? Can you imagine the greeters at the door? Hey, how you doing? Struck down. Oh, the glory of God is over there. Look, everybody's laid out. Now they're dead. What happened? God removed grace and struck him down. Imagine everybody saying, oh, Lord. I'm just going to share with you a story real quick because you know me, I have a tendency to share stories. We were at home one night and we happened to take off to go and run a quick errand. But we had left some shoes, and there's a chain. There was clothes that were left. And one of my sons happened to wake up from his sleep and came downstairs and saw the clothes, saw the shoes. Nobody's around. The rapture's here. I got left. True story. That's why Michael's laughing. True story. Rapture came. All right. Now listen. Didn't I? I don't know where I'm at. I'm right here in church. Sometimes we just put things in our own perspective thinking it's right. And it's not God's perspective. God wants you to see that I have a plan, a destiny for your life. Don't try to get ahead of me and manipulate a move. Don't try to get ahead of me and begin to do something that you think I'm going to do. Let me begin to put things in order and all the pieces will come together. See, he didn't mess up with Bathsheba, as everybody says. David sinned with Bathsheba. He sinned by getting ahead of God and not listening to the voice. You don't get it all twisted. Pastor, you're making it sound like it's all right to go cheat. Hold up. If that's in your heart, you're just a cheater anyhow. Shoot. Shouldn't want to be looking at anybody. Emma, what's up? What's your name? What's your name is? See, here's the thing. When you know God has given you something good, there's no reason to look elsewhere. Amen. God didn't mention anything about his character, about having so many women. He didn't have. God said that David was a man after his own heart because he loved so many women. No. He was talking about how his commitment to the voice that was spoken to David, he always listened to. But a voice began to speak to him from within that began to lead him astray. So then God speaks and says, Uriah the Hittite was the issue. Now the baby that came out of that union that took place that night died. And he repented, he fasted, that even the men came in and said, oh Lord, we can't even tell him the baby died. He could tell that there was something going on. He figured out the baby died, so he got up, cleaned himself, said, okay, time to eat now. There's nothing I can do. That even his men said, I'm puzzled about this, how your actions are, where you fasted when the baby was alive and you wouldn't eat and you were covered in ashes. But yet when the baby died, you get up and clean yourself and you get ready. He goes, what can I do that God hasn't already done? God has made his choice. David had an understanding that God is in charge. And he realized, I've got to make things right. Now, here's the tradition. Don't miss it. If Uriah died in battle, he had every right. Every right. But let's not negate this thing real quick here. Do you know that Bathsheba was a Jew? You know that? Jewish law does not allow her to marry outside of the Jews. But she was married to Uriah, what? The Hittite. There was already something that was off. There was something that was not supposed to be, and God knew it, but through that lineage, he was about to bring a lineage of Solomon all the way down through Jesus coming out. But there was already something that was out of order. Do you understand that? Some things in our life get kind of out of whack. We make decisions and we get with people. Well, Lord. Let's stay on scripture because y'all are looking. Don't. We listen to an inner voice. And sometimes that inner voice isn't the voice of God. It's a voice that will lead you astray. That sometimes is a voice that has no reasoning but your own reason. We got to be careful with that. A voice in the beginning and a voice in the end. Let's look at the voice in the beginning. In Genesis, God speaks to Adam, does he not? Tells him not to eat of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Many use that as the apple, right? It's the apple. No, it wasn't. It wasn't the apple. We still have the apples. But how many apples are there? We have the red one, The green, the golden, and then what's the little ones? Oh, Granny Smith or the green? Was it the little ones, right? Crab ones, the little red ones. Y'all know the little red ones. Is your mouth watering yet? All that sweet. Now, there was more than one apple, was it not? So when he pointed to the tree and says, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's the fruit that you do not eat. Was the sin that they ate the fruit? They did what? They disobeyed what? They disobeyed the voice of God. And listened to what voice? Not yet. Oh, influence. They listen to influence, a voice outside of you and God. Okay, watch this. I need to help me. It's 2015. Your past is past. 2015, a voice of influence is always from the outside that will cause you to make a decision based on emotions of what's really inside. Oh, Lord Jesus. The tree must have been real beautiful. The fruit must have been something that said, come to me. Eat to me. It had to be, right? Come here, eat me, eat me. No. There's all kinds of fruit. What's y'all's favorite fruit? Pomegranate, what's yours? Mango, that's a good one. What else? Come on. Pineapple. Shaba. What else? Bananas. Pears. Plums. Grapes. So there's a lot of fruit that you guys are naming. There's a lot of fruit that was out there in the garden. But why is it that the one tree, don't eat of, beckoned them to go? Because the serpent was on that tree? You know how there's a picture of the serpent coming down this tree and the fruit right there. Eat that apple. No. A voice that speaks to you outside of the covenant that you have made with God that is going to take you to your destiny will be a voice of influence. It will make you do something that opposes God's voice. Mm-hmm. Okay, we all know the story, right? Adam and Eve. Who doesn't know it? Don't raise your hand. You should know it. Okay, don't raise your hand. Now watch this. Now, even after they ate of the fruit, here comes God walking in the cool of the day. Many preachers preach on, every time God's around, it's cool. God steps in, it's cool. He comes and he's looking for them. Of course, you know the story. They're hiding, right? They're hiding. And then he asks them, Adam, where are you? Like God didn't know where he's at. So we hid because we're naked. What does the scripture say? Who told you were naked? What was he addressing? What voice were you listening to? Shaba. You better understand something. The voice is going to speak. And the enemy is not afraid to speak. You should be afraid to listen to that voice. You should have an understanding of fear and reverence of God that if it's not God, don't listen to it. Because you'll hear something that is already internally inside of you that he's speaking to get you to commit to it because it's already there. When he spoke, isn't it funny how they didn't say, hey, wait a minute, this snake, this serpent's speaking. Where's the dove now? Holy Spirit. Where's the dove? How come the dove didn't speak? Or at least a parrot. At least a parrot that can say, oh, of this tree, do not eat. Right? So all of a sudden now there's something of a voice that is outside of the realm of covenant with you and God speaks to influence you. There's a voice in the beginning. There's a voice in the end. But between the beginning and the end, there's always a voice of influence. Oh, Jesus. Help me. Are y'all hot? Oh, the Holy Ghost. I'm getting in trouble, I guess. I don't know. Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that you have no clothes? Who told you to get fig leaves? Who told you to hide? Who told you that you messed up? Didn't say that he messed up. As many of us think that when you mess up, you think that that's it. God's not going to visit you no more. They messed up. There was no redemptive power in place. But God still came to them even though they messed up. Do you understand the goodness of God? That the voice of God still is speaking today, whether you mess up or not, whether you get out of position or not, whether you get ahead of God or behind God, He is still speaking concerning your destiny. But in the midst of you from point A to point B, which B being your destiny, there is always a voice outside of that realm. If we were to make a circle, let's make a circle real quick, because some of y'all fall asleep. So let's just make a circle. Look, let's come over here. Let's get, you get the three of y'all, make a circle over here. Come the three of y'all right here and combine the circle. Combine the circle. I know. The holidays really did a number on us. I know. Okay, circle. All right, let's do this. Let's do it. Michael, let's get in the middle. Get in the middle, Michael. Get in the middle. Okay, y'all. Ooh, a little bit faster. It's okay. It's all good. It's good. Come on, yo-yo. Oh, yeah. Okay. Where's my nanners? Come on, nanners. Get in there. Okay. Get in there. I want you to look at the circle. Okay. Here's the circle where Adam and Eve. Watch it, Mita, God with his beanie. God is in the midst of the circle of protection, divine protection, with Adam and Eve. And he speaks to them saying, if you stay within this covenant and you stay within what I've commanded and listen to my voice, then you will be in my fellowship. Correct? Now, how is it? Come here, Triton. Stand right here. Try just stand right here. Right here. And we'll use this as the fruit. Because keep shaking it. Keep shaking it. But you know, you want to get their attention. Yeah, look at them. Look at them. See, what has happened is, it never said that God left the garden. It says the next day, He came walking in the garden in the cool of the day to fellowship. Where were they? Come on, Adam and Eve. Over here, what was tantalizing them and calling them, and what happened? It took them out of the fellowship of God because they listened to an influential voice outside of covenant. All for a piece of... Why are you looking at me? Look at the fruit. All for a piece of fruit. Fruit. And they had everything else that they could eat of. But something was calling them. And it was a voice that began to oppose not them, but God. Well, you thank you. Calling them. How many times do you know that some... How many times... How many voices do you hear at times when you're trying to do the right thing for God? Huh? Don't stop. Your hand may get tired. Don't stop. What happens is, even though we're in covenant with God, and keep doing it loud. What happens is, enough noise gets your attention and you give in to the noise. And what happens? They fall out of fellowship with God and they start hiding. That the voice speaks and says, who told you in opposition to what I told you. Do you see that? It's simple. It's simple. It's simple. Get in the circle. Watch what happens. Because what was inside Adam and Eve already brought this voice to believe it's okay to listen to in conjunction with the voice of God. They want to hear this one, y'all. Oh, as long as I'm watching my church service on TV, and as long as I go to church, and if God spoke something to me, but I get a different word from the TV, then I ought to merge the two together. Which many of us do, because this voice doesn't stop talking. God doesn't always speak. And so what happens, you need to hear something. I hear a word from God. I hear a word from God. Someone need to pray. I got to hear a word from God. I got to hear a word from God. I'm going to see a prophet. I'm going to see a prophet. You ain't going to see no prophet. You're going because you need to hear something. I don't know about you, but every time I've gone to hear, remember we used to chase prophets all over town? All down to Corpus, Houston, Dallas, and we'd get there and never get a word. Remember that? We'd leave there so mad. God, you didn't never talk to us. We used to chase them all the time. And never get a word. Because the word that he had already spoken to us hadn't been fulfilled. So why is he going to speak another word? Because all it is more noise and distraction. But what happens is, are you getting used to the noise? Now you're listening to me over the noise, right? You will overlook the voice. You will shut out that noise. And then you'll begin to listen to what you think is right. And all along, it was a sign to begin with. There's a voice that is not a voice of me. And you're listening to it. Don't listen to it. You're just tired of hearing that voice. You give in. So then God says, where are you? In relationship to the fellowship with God. Amen. He speaks to them and he speaks to the serpent in the same garden. I don't want to hear this. Go have a seat. Go have a seat. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Way to go. Way to go. Good job. Good job. Good job. Thank you. All right. Now look, 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 look. There's always a voice. There's always a voice that comes in to speak to us. Some are sent by God. Some are prophetic. Some are very pathetic. And there's some that you can't discern whether it's God or the enemy. Because you start looking at the fruit. You start looking at the fruit and you see, well, they're in church. They have a prayer life. They tithe. They're in alignment with God. They're doing things right. So I should listen to the counsel that they give because the fruit looks right. No, you listen to God's voice. What he has spoken to you, and if he has not yet spoken to you again, you do nothing. You wait. Understand? I'm giving this message at the beginning of the year for a reason. There's a voice speaking. There's a voice speaking. Mark 1, verses 1, 2, 3 out of the end of 8 is, the beginning of the good news was about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight your path for him. Why is he saying out of a scripture, out of Isaiah the prophet, that there is a voice speaking in the wilderness? Because there's a voice that God will send into your life when you feel that you are out of position and that you need to hear some clarity. But watch what the word that is prophesied is. Make straight your path. Why your path? Because you're walking on the wrong one. Matter of fact, it makes straight because it's a little crooked. It's a little bent. You want it to be bent. It's a little sideways when you want it to be sideways, but I'm on the path. Not a Christian today, then, because they're on the path. I'm going to church, I'm tithing, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, but I will pick and choose what I'm supposed to use in my life. bent path. Yeah, we got to play. Preach, Pastor. I will. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you helping me. Sometimes we pick and choose that word. Oh, that's for so-and-so. That word was so-and-so. They should have been. That word was for you. If God wanted them here, they would have been here if it was their word. God is not going to cast the pearls before swine and you think it was for somebody else. Oh, that word, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, they should have been here. That word was for them. No, it was for you. Straight. Make your path straight. There's a voice crying out in the wilderness. Why? John the Baptist was the prophet of the Old Testament that prophesied concerning your sins. To get baptized, to be cleansed. He prophesied based on what he saw in the Word, which was the law. The law is only there to show you your path is crooked. Your path is a little to the side. You need Jesus to help you. Because if we had it all straight, we wouldn't have all these kind of warnings come to Israel and to Judah. Do you understand? To the church. We've got it so jacked up. We've been listening to the wrong voices. Oh, because they're influential. Oh, they have a big ministry. They got tens of thousands in their ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. But what are those tens of thousands and thousands doing to impact their local region? How is it that when we do an outreach in San Antonio, we have only a handful from churches? But yet, if the mega church is just in San Antonio, I'm not on a soapbox, I'm just going to tell you the truth. If we had the mega churches in San Antonio begin to reach out to San Antonio, we could end poverty and all of the homelessness here in San Antonio. But what has happened, let's build my kingdom and get you to my church and you hear my messages and then God will bless you. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says do everything that God has commanded you to do. Don't get this twisted either. The Lord said I need to be at your church and the Lord is leading me away. The Lord isn't double-minded and unstable. The Lord didn't tell you to go to the church and help build the church, but then something went wrong and I got to leave the church. We have so many wounded people leaving churches because they're wounded. Guess what? The church is there for you to be healed from the wound. Oh, but I got wounded in church. No, you came with the wound. They spoke truth and you said you got wounded. That wound was already there. You never dealt with it. I'm happy, y'all. I am. I'm happy. Hallelujah. Hey. Hey. Woo, preach myself happy. Thank you, Jesus. Look here. 1 Kings 19:11-13. And verse 15. 1 Kings 19:11-13 and verse 15. If you're taking notes, take them. If you're not taking them, take them. Okay. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, watch this, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? We can make decisions in our life that will take us to places that we think God is, and God's not there. Oh, but the scripture shows that he was there, but he wasn't there based on purpose. He was there based on your emotion. Elijah ran because of the decree to kill all the prophets. And he thought, well, it's all about me. It's all about me because I killed all the prophets of Baal. It's about me. So when she gave out the decree, she's talking directly to me. So she's going to kill me. And it's all about me. How many of you know that sometimes when you think it's all about you, it ain't? It's about the purpose of God that needs to be fulfilled. Amen? Okay. Jesus. Verse 15. Then the Lord said to him, what's this? Go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Ahazel king over Aram. Then if you read on to verse 16, it goes and talks about how he needs to anoint Jehu so he can deal with Jezebel. Do you understand that God's purpose, where you're at, a voice will reach you where you're at, even if you're out of position with God? Out of alignment with God? In a position that you put yourself in based on your emotions, based on all kinds of things that have happened in your life, now you make a decision based on an emotion. And when you make a decision based on emotions, you are going to make a big mistake. Amen. Trust me, I know this. Shoot. Y'all looking at me like, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. Live it, and you'll see it. Go back the way you came. A voice had to get him back on track because his inner voice took him out of position. What was that inner voice? A soulless room, a familiarity. All these supernatural occurrences took place right in front of the cave. He was so comfortable in knowing God in these supernatural occurrences, he didn't understand his small, still voice. But once it came, he realized, uh-oh, something new. There's something new about this. I haven't heard you whisper to me. I'm not worthy because I'm out of position. But he goes to the mouth of the cave. Then God speaks, what are you doing here, Adam? Because when you run away from my voice and listen to your own voice, you will get out of position based on what I have for your destiny. Get back into position. Go back the way you came. Because I have purpose in you over there, not here. Huh? We always think that we got to go someplace to make a difference. No, you go where God tells you to go so that he can speak of you in the latter days and say, David did everything that God spoke. And he was a man after my own heart. Except with one thing, he didn't speak of the sin. He spoke of getting ahead of God and not listening to the voice of God. He disobeyed the voice. How many of you know that when you disobey your parents, well, let me take that back, because nowadays parents don't really discipline their kids or even care. Don't get mad at me. Look at the fruit. Jesus is the voice of grace and power to lead you to your promised land called destiny. In the end, the voice of God speaks concerning the church to know and discern the times. Look to your neighbor and say, what time is it? Tell him again, what time is it? It is a year of 5775. Look to your neighbor again. It's the year of 5775. What year is it? The year of 5775. Do you understand it? 5775. That's the real year. Not our calendar year. 2015. No. 5775. It is a double, double. Two fives, two sevens. Five is grace. Double the grace, it's ordered grace. Seven is a number of rest. But wait a minute. Double the seven is what? 14, the year of an open door and the year of the hand. God's hand is beginning to move in to bring to pass your double portion. And when you add it all together, this is the 70th year of Jubilee. When it's Jubilee, all debts are canceled. And you enter into your rest. Oh, Jesus, come on now. Don't make me preach to myself. It's the number of completion, rest, and wholeness. Have you come into 2015 fragmented? You're going to leave 2015 whole. If you've been fighting a stinking devil all of 2014, your season is coming to rest. If you've been worrying about what the devil has meant for evil, let me tell you that God is turning it for your good. What was meant to harm me, God has turned it to help me, to bless me for the salvation of many. What is he talking about? This is the year, if you heed to the voice of God and not to the voice of influence, you will see that I will manifest my promise to you. I will manifest it with a double portion. This will be the season of the life of the church that we will experience something that we've never experienced. Oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, Jesus. How many times does he say we're to forgive our brothers? 70 times what? 70. Seven. 70 times seven. This will be a year of reconciliation with family. Reconciliation and forgiveness with those that have gone astray. God will reconcile unto himself those that have gotten out of position. God will bring back his people, not a remnant, but his people. Watch this. Don't hear a prophet say a remnant is coming back. That was years back. Now what he's doing in the year of Jubilee is they're all loosed. Amen. Jubilee means that even the slaves have to be let go. And back to their own lands. Oh, and if you have a debt that you cannot pay, God says you have to forgive the debt. If there has been a promise that has been given that you have not seen manifested, you're about to see the manifestation double for your trouble. Because it's double the blessing of the toil in the land. And he'll bring a rest into your prophetic promise to get you to your prophetic destiny. But in the process of the rest, he begins to move on your behalf. Don't get ahead of God and try to make it manifest before God does it. Let the voice in the end speak. What time is it? What time is it? Look here. What time is it? It's Genesis 50:20 time. As for you, meant for evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about his present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. What is God declaring in this season? He told me back before I even got to Africa that would be a year of transcending, to letting go of things that have had you bound and pressing forward to grab hold of something new. Many of us don't know how to live in a place that he's created for us that is new. We bring a mentality of an old slave. He says, and you're coming into my place that way. You got to renew your mind. And if you got some people around you that constantly want to go back to their old ways, you better get to stepping real quick, because they're going to bring you back. And they're going to hold you back. They ain't going to let you move forward. And you ain't never going to experience what God has for you, because you're listening to another voice as opposed to the voice of God. The voice of God speaks in the beginning and in the end. And the end is when you complete your destiny. Some of us will go on to be with the Lord and never complete our destiny. Why? Because we've got things twisted. Follow the voice of God. Follow it. Listen. Obey it. Obey it. Don't get all silly with the Lord said and he didn't say. Amen. The Lord said. The Lord ain't even spoke to you in years. The Lord said this. No, he didn't say that. He did not. You wish he did, but he didn't. You want him to speak, but he hasn't. You want him to make change, and he hasn't. So you get mad, frustrated, and you want change to come. Reality is God is making it for your good. He's turning things around. But you got to let him do it. Let him do it. And don't get connected with that same joker or the same type of joker that always brings you down. I don't know about you, Jeff, but I'm going to go somewhere. And if people don't want to go where I'm going, maybe you're not called to go with me. But those that have heard God say, get to this house. Plant yourself in the ground, not in a pot that can be moved to another place and say, I'm rooted. You ain't rooted. You planted in a shallow pot. Get rooted in the ground, because the only way you're going to grow and produce real fruit is when the storms come. And it may get a little stinky around you. That's when I'm putting the dung all around you. And you don't like the smell of it. You don't like the feel of it. But it's going to help your roots grow stronger. Amen. I ain't playing. I'm not playing. I want to do what God said. Amen. That's what I want to do. Yes. You want to do what God said? Yes. Huh? You want to listen to his voice only, correct? Yes. And when he brings an influence in your life, because he will bring it. Yes. You need to discern it. Right. Is this opposing what God originally spoke? Got quiet, didn't it? Yeah, got quiet. I love you. I love you. We going somewhere. Amen. And there's this thing called centrifugal force. Then it, when it begins to move, and the speed and the velocity of the movement begins to get faster and stronger, those that are connected cling on. Those that aren't, fling off. Amen. Amen. Pastor, you preached the word. I did, didn't I? Thank you. I preached the word. I can't retire and let them be. I'm going somewhere. You too? Amen. I'm with you. What is in your heart to do? I'll preach to myself. Don't worry about it. What is in your heart to do? Do. For I'm with you, heart and soul. Do it. Because you will not be alone. Because when you turn back and look around, David had to encourage himself. Stand to your feet if you would, please. Stand to your feet. Do you know this is Jubilee, right? You know this is. Jubilee is a declaration that is written in the Word. Never to have been passed away, but to stand its time. Your labor, your warring, your spiritual warfare, or you're fighting with your neighbor, your spouse, your children, whatever, is coming to an end. Because you're going to enter your rest. And when you enter your rest, you will experience Jubilee. How many of you want Jubilee? Lift up both your hands before the Lord. Close your eyes. Close your eyes if you would, please. Lift up your hands. Father, I just release this word into their very spirit, mind, and soul. Father, I thank you that it becomes a part of their life. And I thank you that they heed to the voice, God, the voice of the Holy Spirit that is speaking to them and leads them in all truth, God, that speaks not to their soulish realm, but speaks to their spirit realm to guide them into a spiritual level, not a soulish endeavor, but a spiritual realm that you have in store for them. Now, Father, I thank you in advance for what you're about to do on behalf of your children, God. I thank you that they're not slaves, but they are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I thank you because they are sons and daughters, they have the right to know what the Master is doing. Father, I thank you. And I release right now, Father God, the anointing to destroy every yoke of every voice that is influencing them away from your fellowship. I bind it now in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for the fruit of it to be displayed in this very hour. God, I release them now, for this is their Jubilee. Their Jubilee. Hallelujah. And all of God's children said, amen.
Hallelujah. High five your neighbor and say it's Jubilee.